Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it's very interesting that we should pay attention to this because we see the moral order of things. And if you want to understand the moral order of things, you go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 16, I think it is. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. It's a very important aspect that we're hitting at this point right here. She saw that it was good to eat. It was very beautiful to look upon. And she desired to help it. And this is how the pride comes into this. And this is things that we have to be aware of personally and how sin affects us.
Now this is why I'm emphasizing the importance of understanding this matter of self-will. Because as I said before, we tend to think that sin expresses itself in the most immoral side of things. We tend to go there quickly, and one is not excusing that because immorality is sin. But you know, it starts with this little tiny thing called self-will. There is a young lady, I can't remember her name, who wrote the song, You Light Up My Life. Anybody remembers her name? Who's that? No. Anyway.
Well, the Lord knows her name.
Yes. You Light Up My Life. And as part of that song, it says, how can it be so wrong when it feels so right? Isn't that the mentality of the world? How can it be so wrong when it feels so right? All right, Frank Sinatra also sang, I did it my way. Now those are the principles on which sin operates. That's the marketing principle also. It feels good, so do it. You don't have to worry. Now, we also turn around in this matter of sin and we say to ourselves, how do you know it is sin? What is sin for you, John? Isn't sin for me. One man's garbage is another man's treasure. So, I don't see it as sin. I enjoy it. You may count it to be sin. So, we start bringing in the human standards to try to measure what is sin and what is not sin. And we've got to be very, very careful. There's one standard. We read in 1 John. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is coming short of God. Sin is self-will. Just to add, so we might pick up on this other piece. You talked about pleasure as to it does not totally yield lasting pleasure. And yet Moses, it said of Moses in Hebrews 11, he says, he did not want to be linked. Well, let's read it so that we don't misquote it and we get the sense of it. Look at Hebrews 11. Moses talking about sin. Somebody read verses 24 and 25. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25.
Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for the seed.
So, we might be given a little help here, Emil, in regard to your comments, and to balance this out, because here Moses is talking about sin as being a pleasurable thing. And yet, he refuses it because he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So could we understand a little bit as to what Moses is referring to when he says sin has pleasure in it?
Say, Brother Dave, first of all, do you have all these records of Sinatra? I would say this, and I'm sure the brothers will help us along. I'm thankful that in Hebrews 11 it says pleasures of a season, for a season. There are pleasures. We all know, in one sense, or we experience certain sins that man commits is a pleasurable thing. It brings pleasure. And I'm sure the brothers will help us. But the Spirit of God sets the stack. It's for a season. So now you're going to make the preference. It comes back. So what preference do you have in mind? Do you want to enjoy something for a season? Or you want to start enjoying something that's eternal? And that's where the challenge comes in. So not to take away, maybe others will help us, the thought of the pleasures. But thank God, it is for a season. It is something that is going to end. So if you want to stick with what is perishable, I feel for you. But we can enjoy things that are eternal, eternal even from now.
I want to take us for a minute to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, in the very last verse of Revelation chapter 4. I like to go to the root or to the foundation. And we need to find out. I asked a person one time, "Do you know why you're here?" He says, "No." And we got to know, why were we created? Why did God put us here anyway? What are we doing here? And the very last verse of chapter 4 of Revelation says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." If for the believer, this is a very exciting verse to think about, because if we can understand that we were put here for the pleasure of God, maybe it'll help us to, for me, it helps me to bring things more into focus. If I get thinking about, well, I want to do this, I want to do this, and wait a minute, I was put here for the pleasure of God. And I want to balance, I want to bring another part to this. The Lord doesn't just say, well, if you live that way, and you live in the reality of the fact that you were created for my pleasure, I'm going to leave you without happiness. I'm going to leave you without any kind of satisfaction of your heart at all. That is wrong. He did not create us for his pleasure so that we would just be very sorry, sad people. I think we know that. But nevertheless, let's look at it in Psalm 37 and verse 4. Psalm 37 and verse 4. If we will pursue that as a goal, and the more I do, the happier I feel, genuinely. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So if we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord and acknowledge this, that we were created for his pleasure, all things created would be you and me, too, of course, and we delight ourselves in him, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. One primary reason is our desires will become his desires, and that will make us happy. And like my father often said, God made the heart and only God can fill it. We think we know what will make us happy, but God really knows what's going to make us happy. And that's submission to him and realizing the purpose that we've put here. I'd be happy to have other comments on top of that.
We have said that there is no lasting pleasure for sin.
Yeah.
David came and wrote to us a scripture that said how Moses looked and had to make a decision because there was pleasure for sin. But he understood that it's a temporary thing. The lasting thing was not pleasurable at all. I'll give you an example from the scripture. Samson, mighty man, very powerful. Physically, I don't think anybody left on this earth physically as strong as Samson. Very powerful. He enjoyed certain things. He found pleasure in certain things. He saw a woman, a young lady, and he told his parents, "Take her for me because it pleases me. There's pleasure. I find pleasure. So I wanted to go and associate myself with unbelievers because it's fun. I really have fun around them. It's really, just I have fun. I enjoy being there." Many of us have experienced something like that. You know, really, with those guys, you know, I know, but, you know, I know their jokes are ugly, but it's really fun. It's pleasure to be around. Samson had a pleasure for a season, and he enjoyed every minute of it. You know what happened to Samson? You know what happened. There was no lasting